We're beginning with the Gemara on the top of Tzadit Teira Amud Aleph. We just finished the Mishnah, and now the Gemara is going to discuss the basic issue of the Mishnah, which is Minahane Mile. Where do we know this from? Where do we know that the entitlement to participate in the Karbanot has to do with, number one, that you are Ra'ui at the time, the Zman that the Karban is brought, and number two, how does that interact with the Chalukah of the Karban? Your ability to eat from it, what's your status, or how do you have to be involved in the Chalukah? So Amar Reish Lakish, the Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, HaKohen HaMichate Ota Yochlena. So here it says, the one, the Kohen, who does the Michate, the sprinkling of the Dam, who Yochlena, he'll be the one who eats it. So where it says, HaKohen HaMichate Yochal, She'en HaMichate Yochal. It's very simple. If you're the Kohen who does the Chitui, you're the one who eats. If you don't do the Chitui, you don't eat. I says, V'klalohu? Is that really the principle by which we're governing the splitting of the Korban? That's not what it says in our Mishnah. V'harei mishmarah kula, de'in mechateim. The whole mishmar are not the ones that do the Korban. They're not the ones who do the sprinkling of the blood. V'ochlim. And they go ahead and they participate in the Korban. So how could it be you're suggesting that there's a direct relationship or correlation between the one who does the Avodah and the eating of the Korban? Yet we know that the whole Mishmar participates in the Korban, and obviously the whole Mishmar is not the one doing the Avodah. Rashi, it's interesting, Rashi says over here, he says, Ela Echad Zerak Ayudei Kulan. Rashi says, one of them does the Avodah on behalf of the others. It's interesting terminology. Do you really shliach of the whole mishmar? Just noting it, the Rashi makes that comment. Mar says, Reish Lakish amend the statement, says, Ra'ui l'chitui kamrinan. We didn't mean literally that he does the avoda, but rather, he's ra'ui to do the chitui, he's ra'ui to do the matnot dam. Mar says, wait a minute, very katan, de'eino ra'ui l'chitui v'ochel. What about a katan? A katan doesn't have the ability to do the avoda, and yet, he's permitted to eat. Elama yochlena. Yochlena doesn't really mean eating, but yichalkena, dividing up. Who gets a portion, who's entitled to a portion of the division of the korbanot? When they go out and they say, here we have a korban, we have to divide it amongst the kohanim that are there. Who counts as a kohen in the division? So a katan does not count, even though a katan is permissible to consume of the korbanot. Nevertheless, he's not part of the bar chiluk, he's not one of the individuals that gets the korban divided to him. So therefore the answer is, ra'oi lechitui, someone who is ra'oi for matnot dam, cholik. Then he is a participant in the division of the korban. She'en ra'oi lechitui, someone who is not able to perform the avoda, eno cholik, is not a participant in the division of the korban. Now how do we know that the katan is entitled to eat from the korban? How is the Gemara so sure that we know that? Well, we have, the Gemara says, because, another, not here, but Rashi quotes for us, that there are two mi'utim, the gabei al katan. There are two things that come to exclude a katan. Number one is that they can't do avoda, because it says by the avoda, that ish mizaracha ledorotam. There it requires ish to do the avoda, and not a katan. There's also another mi'ut, the gabei chiluk karbanot. The division of the karbanot, also there's a mi'ut of a katan, which it says ish ki achiv, that when they divide it up, it's ish ki achiv, ish velo katan. So if he's excluded from number one, the avoda, and number two, he's excluded from the chiluk, well, if he couldn't eat the korban, then you wouldn't have to be ma'amayit him from the chiluk. You would just have to say he can't eat the korban, and we'd also know automatically that he's not part of the chiluk. The fact that the Torah went out of its way to tell us that by the chiluk, the katan is precluded, that means that he is included by the achila. And that's how the Gemara knows that the katan, or the Gemara took it for granted that here that the katan can participate, or that the katan can eat from the korban. So now the Gemara says, here's our principle. Our principle is that someone who is ra'oi for avodah gets a part of the chiluk, or is a part of the division of the korban. If you're not throwing the avodah, it doesn't work. Mar says, wait a minute, what about the case in our mission of Ari Balmum? What about Balmum, which our mission says a Balmum is a bar chiluk. He's able to participate in the division, but then ra'oi lechitui v'cholik. He can't do the avodah. A Balmum is precluded from doing the avodah in the mikdash, yet he is a participant in the chalukah. Mar says, Balmum rachmon rabbi. The Balmum has a particular posuk that includes him. Kol zachar b'kohanim, says they're kol, not just in zachar b'kohanim, but kol zachar b'kohanim, they're about bamum. So it says, ve'ema kol zachar, they're about tvul yom. Why did you pick bamum? Why don't we include tvul yom? At least the tvul yom, alright, he's not ra'oi at this moment, but by this evening, he'll be able to eat, he'll be fine, because the mikveh now, the sun sets, and he can eat the korban. So why don't we say that tvul yom is the one who's able to be a participant, even though he's not ra'oi the chitui, instead of including a balmum, where it says mistabra balmum mavaleh ribuye shekein ochel, makes sense to include the balmum because he's able to eat immediately from the karbanot. It says adraba tul yom mavaleh ribuye de la orta michzei chozi. By evening time he is ra'oi, but when we say ra'oi, he is not only ra'oi le'achila, he's ra'oi le'avodah. I mean that he becomes, quote, a full-fledged kohen again. He's able to go back in and do the avodah, as opposed to a balmum who is permanently precluded, or at least as long as he has the mum. If it's a mum over, he's precluded from doing the avodah. Where it says, Hashta miyaha lo chazi. We're going after now. If you look at the now, the here and now, the only one who's ra'oi is the balmum. If you want to look at now, the balmum is ra'oi at least for achila, maybe not avodah. The tvuyom is ra'oi for nothing right now. He cannot perform avodah, and he cannot eat. So he's totally out of the parsha. So we'll say better to include the tvuyom, was at least somewhat in the parsha, than the tvuyom was not in the parsha whatsoever at this moment. So that's the limud of Reish Lakish. Rav Yosef offers up an alternative. Rav Yosef Amar Michte, Ma Yochlena, you want to suggest now that Yochlena means Yechelkena, Lichtob Rav Kumana Yechelkena. Then why doesn't the Torah write that? Why is the Torah writing that they should eat it when they really mean that they should divide it? Doesn't make sense. So ma yochlena? So what does that mean, yochlena? Shma minah. Ra'oi la'achila, cholik. She'en ra'oi la'achila, eno cholik. If you can eat, you participate. You can't eat, you don't participate. So by Reish Lakish, bal mum v'hu tamei. What happens by a bal mum that is tamei? So bal mum, which would not preclude him from the chiluk, but tamei. But he is tamei. Now really, the question here is if you're merabe, if you bring in a balmum from a ribuy akra, how do we view it now? Does that ribuy akra give him total exemption from all the rules? Since he's breaking the rule already, we break all rules for him? Or no, when we bring him in, we bring him into the regular rules. If he becomes tamei, then he is precluded from participating in the chiluk. So basically, it's the nafka mina between the two deot that we just had, between Reish Lakish and Rav Yosef, which is Kevin de lo chazi, since he's not ra'oi, virachmana rabye, that's the position of Reish Lakish, that he's really not ra'oi, but the Torah has a specific inclusion from Kol Zachar, loshna, it makes no difference whether the inclusion is because he's just a balmum, or he's a balmum enatame, mali tame, mali balmum. If he's already problematic and the Torah brings him in, then it shouldn't matter how many problems he has, the Torah includes him no matter what.
How can you say that?
Right. But once the Torah already has included the balmum, then what? If you're trying to decide who to include in the beginning, say balmum over tamei. But now, once the Torah's already included balmum, how much leeway do we have including the balmum? If we already included someone who's not ra'oi, then does it include, once he's a tamei, it makes no difference. Balmum, tamei. Seems to me that there is. It's how you include a balmum. I'm saying that this is the nafka mina here, the source, because Dilma, the other side, Dilma, ro'i la'achila cholik, shein ro'i la'achila eino cholik. It all has to do with ro'i la'achila. Now, within Reish Lakish, you could ask this question itself. But according to Rav Yosef, it would seem to me that Rav Yosef only holds to the second position. Rav Yosef can't hold to the first position because Rav Yosef doesn't have a separate limud to include balmum. He only has ro'i la'achila, no ro'i la'achila. So then, for sure, should be precluded. At least the nafka mina between them, according to Rav Yosef, for sure, he holds of the second position. According to Reish Lakish, you could ask this question, and even with Reish Lakish, you could have both answers be true. But that could be a nafka mina between them. If you don't have a specific ribuy for balmum, it's part of the regular inclusion of the pasuk, then you can't say that balmum is an exception to the rule. He's a part of the rule. Because the one who asks the question is Reish Lakish, which is interesting because he's the Baal Memra before. So he's asking a question on himself. I'm not sure how to put those together. So, Amar Rabba, Tashma, Kohen Gadol Makrivonein, Ve'eno Ochel, Ve'eno Cholek, Le'chol Le'erev. The Kohen Gadol has a special dispensation that he's allowed to do avoda, maybe has to do avoda when he's an onein. All other Kohanim, when they're an onein, when they are over one of the Shiva Krovim that they're required to meet the Belalav, if they become an onein, then they are mechalel avodah. If they do avodah in the Mikdash, it's mechulal. On the other hand, the Kohen Gadol, he must continue to do the avodah, and if he does the avodah, it's not mechulal yet. If he does the avodah, number one, he's makiv onein, ve'eno ochel, not to eat from the avodah that he does, whatever he does is not allowed to eat from, ve'eno cholek lechol erev, and he's not entitled to any chalukah of that day. So shma mina, you see from this, it's ra'oi l'achila ba'inan. So here you have the Kohen Gadol, who has a dispensation to do the avodah, yet he's precluded from being a part of the chalukah. Why is that? Well, if the whole thing is talui and ra'ui lechitui, in ra'ui lechitui, then the kohen gadol should have been included. The fact is that what's the governing principle here is ra'ui lechila and in ra'ui lechila. So the fact that he can't eat at this moment, that excludes him from being a part or participant in the chalukah, and that will be the answer. Shemamina ra'ui lechila bina and shemamina. So now by Rav Oshia, tamei bekarbonot zibur mahu shechalek bo, shechalku bo. A tamei, a kohen who is tamei, at the time that they're bringing one of the karbonot zibur, what is the din? Is he allowed to participate? Mi amrina mechatea mar rachmana, v'hai nami mechatehu. Does the Torah say anybody who could do the avodah is entitled to the chalukah, and this individual, this kohen, could do the avodah, even though he's tamei? But if the tamei does the avodah to tzibur, we know that tuma utra b'tzibur, at least the chuya b'tzibur, and therefore it would be a kosher avodah. If it's a kosher avodah, he should include it in the chalukah. Even though now that we have kohenim teorim and we're going to give favor to them and they could do the avodah, had this kohen stepped forward and done the avodah, even against our will, against what we wanted, the avodah would have been fine because there's a special dispensation for the tzibur when it comes to tuma. Or the other hand, even carbonate tzibur that are brought at yidei tmeim, they're not eaten. Korban tzibur that's brought at yidei tuma is not eaten bituma. So here, even if he's ra'ui l'avodah, he's not ra'ui l'achila. Rama Ravina Tashma, kohen gadol makriv onen ve'eno ochel ve'eno cholek l'chol erev. So we bring the same proof again, which is the kohen gadol. Kohen gadol was able to do avodah, yet he's not allowed to be a part of the chalukah. Shema mima again, ra'ui l'achila beinan v'shma mina. So again, that ra'ui l'achila is the governing principle, and even if someone is ra'ui for avodah but not ra'ui l'achila, he will not be allowed to be a part of the chalukah. So in the end, if these questions are really asked in Reish Lakish, then you really narrow the difference between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yosef, and they both agree that it's achila is the governing principle over here. Now they didn't ask about by Rabbi Yosef, what about a katan? So over there we said already that the katan has a specific pasuk that's memayit him from the chiluk. So even though Rabbi Yosef's idea is that if you're ra'ui l'achila, you're ra'ui for chaluka, obviously the katan, who is ra'ui l'achila, he's ra'ui l'achila because he was precluded from the chaluka. In fact, the Torah went out of its way to say that he can't participate in the division. That's what, how we know that he is able to eat. So it's obvious, even though he's ra'ui l'achila, that he's not allowed to be a participant in the chaluka, because that's how we learn that he's ra'ui l'achila, because he's precluded from that. Right, now, onein nogea veino makriv. So that's the next part of our Mishnah. Then onein is allowed to touch. Veino makriv is not allowed to do a vod on the mikdash. Onein nogea. Onein is allowed to touch. V'ramini onein umichuser kipurim tzrichim tvila lekodesh. An onein. Onein again is someone who has one of his krovim that he has to be chayav litabel aleihem, that passed away, and at least the first day that he passed away before the kvura, he's called an onein until the mate is buried. Once the mate is buried, then he becomes an avel. So the period of time between the time that the mate is niftar and the beginning of the avelut, he's classified as an onein. Whether he's an onein d'oraita or d'rabanan, that's subject to machloket. We're going to see that along through the sugya. But at least for the first day, he's an onein d'oraita. Maybe the first night afterwards also he could be a d'oraita. But otherwise, he becomes an onein d'rabanan. Otherwise, he's just an onein d'rabanan until he becomes an avel. But what the Gemara says is that an onein b'chusu kipurim, b'chusu kipurim we discussed yesterday, both of them require tvila l'kodesh. This tvila is a tvila d'rabanan. It's not a tvila that's required min haTorah. It's just that we're afraid, since they were in a parsha of tum'ah, we want them to go to the mikveh before they come back to eating kodesh or being a participant in kodesh, because we want them to remember or think about whether they really were involved in tum'ah. By going to the mikveh, they'll put their mind to it. They'll remember that they did something. So an onein, of course, because they're involved with the mate. So we want them, after they finish, to go to the mikveh to remember, did they get in contact with the mate? Did they do something that now requires them to be matar themselves? And the mechusar kippurim as well. After doing their karbonot on the eighth day, we want them to make sure to go to the mikveh to say, wait, maybe I was mesiach that, maybe I did something. I'm so used to being tamei that I wasn't so careful. So goes to the mikveh, and if you see over here, this is one of the proofs for Tosafot yesterday, that the Mar here says, onei mechusarim tzrichim tvila lakodesh, that's it. Tvila below harav shemesh. They don't require harav shemesh. And that's why Tosaf says about the mishnah, about tvul yom mechusar kibrim, enen chokim bakochim lechol ha'erev. He says the erev is only modifying the tvul yom, and not modifying the mechusar kippurim, because you see here that mechusar kippurim does not require erev shemesh; it just requires a tevila. I'm Rabbi Ami, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Lo kasho, kam b'shavu toval, kam b'shalo toval. But you ask me, an onein can be noger or not noger? It has to do with whether he went to the mikveh or not. If he didn't go to the mikveh, no, he can't touch it. If he went to the mikveh, then he can touch it. So Gemara says, v'chi tavo mayavi. What do you mean? If he goes to the mikveh, he's an onen. Either he is an avel now, and he's not an onen anymore, so then, of course, it's fine. Or, if he's still an onen, haha, drale aninut. Then, he didn't remove the status of aninut. He went to the mikveh, now he's still an onen. So why does that help him? If an onen has to go to the mikveh, they're going to the mikveh prior to the ending of his period of aninut, why does that help him? The Amar Rabba Bar Babuna, onen shetaval, aninuto chuzeret alav. An onen goes to the mikveh, he returns to his status of aninut as soon as he comes out of the mikveh, because he's still an onen. It's a status of being, he can't remove it through the mikveh. It's only once that status is removed does he go to the mikveh, and then it works. Hello, Kasha. Had the asach date? Had the lo asach date? So he goes, somebody says, that has to do with asachadat or not asachadat. If once he went to the mikveh, he was shomer, he was careful, and says, you know, I was careful about Kodesh, I paid attention, I understood that I had to be careful, then his mikveh continues to be good for him, and the status of onen will not affect him. On the other hand, if he was mesiach dat, if after he went to the mikveh, he's mesiach dat again, then the status of onen returns to him, and he'll have to go to the mikveh again. Mar says, hesach adat, you're worried here about hesach adat, shlishi ushvi boy. If hesach adat or lo hesach adat, we'll have to do whether he's tamei mate or not tamei mate. The hesach adat, what we're worried about here, is coming into contact with the mate. If he's mesiach dat, then we're going to assume that he came into contact with the mate, and now he's tamei mate, he'll require hazach, shlishi ushvi, and it'll be 7 days before he comes back. Forget about going to the mikveh again, he's going to need a full tara process. So why are you talking about hesach adat? The Amar Rabbi Ustai, Rabbi Maton, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, hesach adat tzarich hazach shlishi ushvi. If one does not pay attention, is not careful about tumat mate, we assume that he became tamei mate. The Gemara clearly in the context is talking about someone who is an onen. But I don't think that their statement is necessarily limited to an onen. This is anybody who wants to come back to Kodesh at hesach adat, then we don't know if he came into contact with a mate. How is he not going to know? I think it applies broadly. In the context of our Gemara, would only be speaking about onen. I think the statement of Rabbi Yustai, Rabbi Maton, and Rabbi Yochanan is an independent statement. And that means anybody who's mesiach dat mituma will have to do this, meaning that we're afraid they came into contact with tumat mate, and therefore they have to deal with it. It's a chesh derabanan. It's all derabanan. It's not a din derabanan. It's a din derabanan. The rabbanan are afraid that if a mesiach da'at, if a person doesn't pay attention to the dinei tuman tara, we're afraid that he became tamei mate because he's just not in touch with. I mean, a person's, if you're not aware, you're just not going to be careful. Mesa says, look, Asha, how the asach da'atei mitamei mate, how the asach da'atei mitamei sheretz. Depends what he forgot about. If he was careful about tumat mate, but he wasn't careful about tumat sheretz. If he's not careful about tumat mate, then he needs hazat shlishin shvi. We're afraid that he came into contact with a mate, and now he has to wait the shlishin shvi and he has to take care of that tara. On the other hand, if he's only mesiach da'at from sheretz, tumat sheretz is tumat yom. So tumat yom, then he could go to the mikveh and everything will be fine. But the Gemara is going to ask the question, wait a minute, how does that help you? Tamei sheretz is tamei ma'al yoho. A tamei sheretz is not the same thing as a tamei tumat onen. That's a full-fledged tumah and harav shemesh boy. He definitely requires sunset. So that's again another proof to the Tosafot. Tosafot says here, the Gemara clearly differentiates between tumat mechusar kippurim, where you do not require harav shemesh, tumat onen, where you don't require harav shemesh, and the case of tumat sheretz, where you do require harav shemesh. So this is one of his big proofs that the Mishnah has to be modifying. Harav Shemesh is not modifying Mechusir Kippurim here. He says that Tvilot Durabonon. Tvilot Durabonon don't require Harav Shemesh. And then except for the two cases he brings that are exceptions to that rule, one is the rule of Kol HaParesh Mino or La HaParesh Mino Kever. Over there, he requires a full-fledged tefillah with Harav Shemesh, and a Tumat Akum, which is even though it's Derabanan, also requires Harav Shemesh. But here you see the Gemara says, wait, what does that help you? He went to the mikveh as an onen. And now he says, I'm careful about Tumat Mate, I wasn't careful about Tumat Sheretz. Well, if he wasn't careful about Tumat Sheretz, going to the mikveh again is not going to solve any problems. He's going to have to go to the mikveh and get Harav Shemesh. What is the first time of going to the mikveh, what does that do for him? What does that help him out? So, Ode, afilu truma anami. So what it mean for Kodesh? Even for Truma itself, he requires this. Not only Tumat Kodesh do you need this for, but even for Truma, he's going to need, now he's going to need a mikveh. Meaning that before, for Onen, if you remember the statement of the Gemara was, Onen mechusir kiburim tzuchim tevila lekodesh. That's only for Kodesh that they require a mikveh. Now, if he's tummy too much sheretz, he needs mikveh not only to participate in kodesh, he needs it to eat truma. He can't eat truma anymore when he's tummy too much sheretz. So he has two problems. He has one problem is he needs harav shemesh, and number two is he can't eat truma. Not only can't eat kodesh, he can't eat truma. So you can't say that if he's mesiach dat from too much sheretz, that solves our problem over here. That creates a bigger problem because now he needs a whole new set of mikveh harav shemesh. He's in a total different parsha. But Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah says, "But Omer nishmarti midavar hamitam eni, velo nishmarti midavar haposlani." I was careful about something that could make me tamei, but I was not careful about something that could be poseloti, that could make me pasul. In general, in Tarot, the difference between tamei and pasul is that someone who is tamei can convey the Tumah to something else. He is Tameh and can convey the Tumah to other items. And someone who is Pasul is someone who is himself unable to participate or is problematic, but he can't convey the Tumah to another object or to someone else. So that's generally in Tarot the difference. Over here, it's used in a slightly different manner, although it probably means the same thing, which is, if you look in Rashi, Apostlani is L'achilat Kodshim Midrabanan. That's something that's Pasul Mi Midrabanan from Michil Kodshim, Delo Bay Erev Shemesh. It won't require Erev Shemesh. So here, Rashi claims that he said, I'm careful from Tumah Deoraita. I wasn't careful from Tumah Derabbanan. Something to do with Derabbanan that only applies to Kodesh. Special Ma'alot that the Chachamim made by Tumah that only applied to Kodesh. So by default it also worked out that way, that these Tumah Derabbanan and Kodesh are only Poselim because they don't pass on the Tumah. Kodesh is already a revealed Tumah. When we're talking about Tumah Derabbanan, it's already so far down the chain of Tumah that it will only be Poselim. The only thing that has Tumah beyond that is Parah Tumah, and that would be even a Chamishi Tumah. So over here, when we say poslani, it means both something that is mitameim only derabbanan, and therefore it won't pass it on. But it's not used in the usual context of tumah, which means it won't pass it on. It's used because it's derabbanan. By default, he also will not pass it on over here. But I don't think it's used in that way that it's used normally in Tarot. Well, we are at a point where the Gemara has to resolve the fact that our Mishnah says that an Onin can be Nogeya. An Onin is allowed to touch the Kodshim without any problem. And we have a Din Derabbanan that says an Onin required to go to the Mikveh before he can touch the Kodashim, before he can be into contact with Kodesh. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll resolve it, the case where he went to the Mikveh already. The Gemara says, wait, he went to the Mikveh already, what does that do? He's still an Onin. Going to the Mikveh doesn't change the fact that he's still an Onin. So the Gemara says, no. Once he went to the Mikveh, he says he was careful. What was he careful from? That's what the different stages we went through for so far. At first he said he wasn't careful at all. The Gemara says, Tamei mate, yeah, Derabbanan. So he's gonna have to go to Shlishin Shvi. So Gemara says, fine, he was careful for Tumat mate, wasn't careful for Tumat Sheret. Gemara says, why does that help you? Then he's gonna need Mikveh and Harav Shemesh. So Gemara says, alright, not that. He wasn't careful for Tumat Derabbanan in Kodshim. So that's where we're up to now. That's where we're on the Sugya. So the answer, so our mission is a case where he went to the Mikveh and he was careful about everything, so he's fine. The case where he requires to go to the Mikveh again, is a case where he went to the Mikveh already, and he said, I was careful for things that would be Tamei me, but not careful for things Derabbanan that would make me posel the Kodesh. And that's why he requires another Tevila midrabanan. But not a Tevila d'oraita. Tevila d'rabanan only requires to go to the Mikveh, no Erev Shemesh involved. So Meika Nitiruta Lepalko. Is there such a concept that you can divide up that I'm careful about this, not careful about that? In yes, Batanya. We have a Braita that says Odeo Asala Rosho. If he has a basket on his head, Umagrefa Bitocho, and there is a shovel inside the basket, Valmar, and he says Libi ala sal, Vein Libi ala magrefa. He says I was careful about the sal that it was not in Kabul Tumah, but I was not careful about the shovel. Asal Tahor, but Magrefa Tumea. The sal remains Tahor because he was carried. He says I was careful about it. I know nothing touched it. On the other hand, the Magrifa is Tmeya because he says, I was Mesiach that from the Magrifa. I didn't have my mind on the Magrifa. Vetitama Magrifa Lasal. Okay, that's very nice. But now you have a Klima Techet that's inside the basket. It became Tamei. If it became Tamei, then it will also be Mitamei the Sal. So how could it be that the Sal is Tahor and the shovel is Tamei? So when it says, Ain't Kli Mitamei Kli. It's a basic problem. Tumah doesn't pass from one kli to the next. Only way that Tumah can pass in the Vladota Tumah, in the lower levels of Tumah, is that it goes from a Tumah to a food or a liquid, and then from a food or liquid to a kli, back to a kli. It can't be directly kli to kli. It's not directly, generally directly food to food. It always usually passes through something of a different type. A kli to the food to kli, or the other way around. It would be food to kli to food. So the Gemara says, what about what's contained within the basket? That should become Tameh because it's in contact with the shovel. Amarovo, but Omer, Shmeratiya midavar mitama, velo mishmeratiya midavar apos la. So here, this is the classic sense of Psula versus Tameh. So I was careful that nothing touched it that would be mitameh. I was careful that nothing on that shovel came into contact with it would allow it to pass Tuma on. But I wasn't careful about things that would come into contact with it that would make it Pasul, mean that would be the end of the line of Tuma. So it could become Tameh, but cannot be mitameh because he said I was careful about items that would be mitameh. I wasn't careful about things that if it became Pasul. So that would solve our problem here. Here you see, number one, we do have that Chiluk, according to Rava, which is that you can have partial watching, that you're careful about Tumot, let's call them D'oraita, versus Tumot D'rabbanan. Careful about Tumot that can be passed on to another item, not about Tumot that retained or stayed with this object. First of all, we see that Chiluk. And number two, we see that with this shovel, that will be the case. The basket is Tahor, because there's a kli. What's in the basket is Tahor, because he says, I was careful that the shovel never became Tameh to the point where it would be Mitameh the items in the basket. Only the fact that it itself could become Tameh, and that'll be the problem here. The shovel itself will be the only problem.
Now our Mishnah, what are we talking about?
So our Mishnah is a case where he went to the mikvah and he was careful about everything, so he's fine. The case by Onin Mechuzavrin Tzvichim Tzvila Lakod, this is where he went to the mikveh when he was an Onin, and then he says, I was careful from Tumah, went to the, but I wasn't careful from Psula. I was careful from things that could be Mitamei me and in Kodesh, and I was not careful things that would be Pusel me, the Rabbanan, that would make me Pasul but not pass it on. Therefore, and that's why it requires another Tevila, the Rabbanan, but not a Tevila Doraita. Tevila Dorabanan only requires to go to the mikveh, no Erev Shemesh involved. What's a Tumah Derabanan? That's posel by Kodesh. Midras, if he sits on clothing of a Chaver, who only keeps Tara for Truma, not Tara for Kodesh. If you only keep Tara for Shabta Truma, and you come into contact with clothing, and you want to be Tara for Kodesh, Midrabanan, you're Tomei. That level applies. So again, in summary, in the Mishnah, he went to the Mikveh, and that's why he's allowed to touch the Kodesh. Because after he went to the Mikveh, he was very careful, and he made sure that he didn't touch any Tuma, anything that was Pasul. He kept all distances from problems, and therefore you can declare that even though I was an onein after the mikveh still helped me because I was not mesiach dat from that whatsoever. The case from the Mishnah in Chagiga, which speaks about the fact that he requires a tevila b'mikveh after he is an onein, that's a case where he has a problem of tuma d'rabbonon. Can't be tuma d'oraita. So we're talking about tuma d'oraita, you'll end up with having to do shlishi and shvi'i mid'rabbonon, or you'll have to be tovel for tumat sheretz, which will require herev shemesh. So one can be talking about a case of Tumah Derabanan. So that's the case here. He went to the mikveh in the case of Chagiga, but afterwards he says, I had in mind not to be in contact with anything that's Tameh or Mitameh, but I didn't have in mind to protect myself from things that are Posel B'Kodesh, the Dinei Derabanan that are Posel B'Kodesh. So since he has that Tumah Derabanan problem, he goes to the mikveh Midrabanan. The mikveh Midrabanan means that after he finishes being an onen, he goes to the mikveh and he's fine. He doesn't need Harav Shemesh, he doesn't need anything else. And that would explain the statement from the Mishnah and Chagiga, and that'll be the din that is spoken about by Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, who says that even an onen who went to the mikveh still has to go back to the mikveh because he's still an onen. Versus our Mishnah, which is talking about post mikveh, where he kept everything, wasn't mesiach dat at all. And the other cases that we saw before, the other case that we saw by Rav Dustai, which is a case that if you're mesiach dat, you need shlishi and shvi. That's a case where he's mesiach dat from tumat hamait. If you're mesiach dat from tumat hamait, midrabbonon, you require shlishi and shvi'i. If you're only mesiach dat from tumat Sheretz, then you will require to go to the mikveh plus Herev Shemesh. So that will explain all the cases that we've seen until now. Now this Ugagle Milta, this case that we just spoke about, you know, rolled around, Mati the Kameh de Rabbi Avra Bar Mamel, and ended up in front of Rabbi Avra Bar Mamel. Lo Shmiluhu Adaram Rabbi Yochanan. Didn't you hear what Rabbi Yochanan says? I'm a Rabbi. Ochel Shlishi Shel Chuma. Asur le'chol umutar liga. Someone who consumes a shlishi shel truma, that's a shlishi l'tuma by truma, which would be problematic for truma, is asur le'chol, he cannot eat truma, umutar liga, but he can touch truma. Alma b'achila avud rabbanan ma'le, that by eating the chachamim made asur ma'le, b'nigia lo avud rabbanan ma'le. By achila, they say that's a problem, versus nigia, so you can separate between these two items. You can have a case where you have a Tumah Derabanan, which is only has problems or only has application by the cases of Achila, not the cases of Nigia, which means that now this is the explanation for our case over here. The explanation for why the Onen requires Mikveh, and our Mishnah says an Onen can touch, is because there's a differentiation in what we're talking about. The Mishnah is talking about Nigia, there he doesn't require Mikveh. That case where you require a mikveh to be tahor lekodesh, that's rachilat kodshim. You want to eat kodshim, you got to go to mikveh. You want to touch kodshim, no mikveh. So that's what the ma'ila is. The ma'ila here is that there's a difference or the differentiation between the giyah and achila. Midrabanan, we're talking about all tumot rabbanan here, all ma'ilot rabbanan. Rabbanan are worried about this own name that he might have come into contact for tumah. So to touch things, we're not going to require that ma'ila. To eat kodesh, that he requires a ma'ila, you have to go to the mikveh. So that's why the statement that said that Onin goes to the mikveh, that's talking about a case where he wants to eat kodesh. He wants to eat kodesh, go to the mikveh. If he wants to touch kodesh, then there's no ma'ila d'rabbanan, and he can touch the kodesh without any problem, without ever going to the mikveh, even when he's in Onin. Right, now, next part of the Mishnah. Ve'eno cholek lechol. The Onin is not a participant in the division. So where it says, Miflaghu de lo plige, he does not divide up with his friends the Kohanim, but if they invite him over to come participate in that eating with them, Sounds like that he can eat with them. He's just precluded from being a part of the Chalukah, but it does not say that he's precluded from eating Kodesh. From the Mishnah, which excludes him from the division, sounds like he could go ahead and eat from it. If his friends invite him over for lunch or for dinner, they can go and eat with them. Gemara says, wait a minute, for a minute. Onein umechusar kipurim tovel v'chel epischol erev. So I can't, we should probably not mechusar kipurim, but it's an onein. Tovel v'chel epischol erev. Onein goes to the mikveh, and then he eats his Pesach that night. Aval lo b'kodoshim, but not in kodoshim. So here you have an onein on erev Pesach. He goes to the mikveh, and he's allowed to participate in his Pesach at night. And then that statement says, aval lo, right, this brayta says, but lo b'kodoshim. Lo b'kodeshim implies that that day he can't participate in kodeshim. That he needs to, he's allowed to eat the Pesach, but he's not allowed to eat the kodeshim. And we just said now, based on our Mishnah, Yimidayik, that he can't eat kodeshim. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti, this is the first answer to the stira between this Braita and our Mishnah, Lokasha. Kamba Pesach, Kamba Sharam Otashana. It depends what day you're talking about. Are you talking about Erev Pesach? Are you talking about the rest of the year? Bit Pesach. Since on Pesach we have a special dispensation for him to eat the Pesach, why is that? Pesach involves a chiyuv karet. So we're not, the Rabbanim were not omei divrehem, did not put their words in place and stop him from eating a Pesach. So that means that if he's tovel during the daytime as an onein, he can participate in the Karban Pesach that night, because the Karban Pesach involves a chiyuv karet. So we let him participate, even though he's an onein derabbanan at night. Even though he's an onein derabbanan at night, the Rabbanim were not ma'amid divrehem, but makom karet. So once we gave him that dispensation, we say, migo, that he's good to eat the Pesach, he's also good to eat the kodeshim. B'shayim otashana, lo chazi. The rest of the year, if he's an onein derabbanan, if he's not roi, he's not roi. So he won't be allowed to participate. So then what does it mean, aval lo b'kodeshim? What does it mean in that bright, aval lo b'kodeshim? Aval lo kodeshim shel kol hashana. Not the kodeshim of all year long. So you see here, what does that mean? It means that on Erev Pesach, when it comes to, he goes to the mikveh, he's allowed to eat in the Pesach that night. And he's allowed to eat the kodeshim that night. But lo b'kodeshim means the rest of the year. He can't participate in the kodeshim. If he goes to the mikveh, that's not going to help him to participate in the kodeshim. So our Mishnah, you're going to have to say now, our Mishnah is talking about that unique case, you're going to be medayik that he can, even though he's not allowed to participate in, he's allowed to eat the kodeshim. That's only in a case where it was on Erev Pesach. I mean, not all year round. So that would mean that we limited our Mishnah to that case. All right, then we have an alternative answer. Ravasi Amar Lokasha, Kansha Meitlo Meit Barbasar, Vikibro Barbasar. Case here is where the Niftar happened on the 14th, and he was buried on the 14th. The other case is where a person has a Niftar on the 13th, and then he was buried on the 14th. So why is the difference? What's the difference here? This is what we discussed before. We have this din of a din onein d'oraita. The din of a onein d'oraita only applies on the day that the Niftar, the day that the Mita happened. The day of death is the only day of aninut midoraita. There's a question about the night afterwards, which we'll deal with later on, but at least now, let's just assume it's the daytime that is the din d'oraita. The Chachamim said that if he's buried on that day as well, the night afterwards he's still an onein midrabanan. So it means that during the day he's an onein d'oraita. If the individual that was niftar was buried that same day, then the night afterwards is tofes, that he means it becomes an onein midrabanan. On the other hand, if the Yom HaMita was one day, the 13th, and the Yom HaKvura was the next day, then the Chachamim did not institute an Inut Laila afterwards. Even though he's an Onein during the daytime, because the Kvura didn't happen until the 14th, nevertheless, they didn't institute that the night afterwards would have an Inut. Only time they do that is when it's the Yom Kvura and Yom Mita the same day. So basically here, the case is here. One case is a case where we have both the Kvura and Mita happening on the same day. The Mita happened on the 13th, and the Kvura happened on the 14th. Yom Kvura lo tofis le lo midrabanan. that din derabanan, that the night afterwards he remains an onain, only applies to Yom HaMita v'Yom HaKvura, they were the same day, but not to the time where the Yom HaMita and the Yom HaKvura are separated. When the Yom HaKvura is the next day, there is no night afterwards. So therefore, the two cases. The case in the Mishnah in Psachim that says that an onain tovel ve'ochalet kiskol erev, that's a case where the Mita and the Kvura happened on the 14th. When the Mita and the Kvura happened on the 14th, now he's an onain deoraita on the 14th. He would have been an onain derabon on that night. But because it's Pesach and it's a chiyub karet, the Chachamim suspended and said, no chiyub karet. Avaloba Kadashim means if that same situation came out in another Kadashim, he would be precluded from eating. He would be precluded from eating, and that's the question on a Mishnah. He goes, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is a case where he was, Yom HaMita was the 13th, or Yom HaMita was one day, and Yom HaKvura is the next day. Well, since Yom HaKvura is the next day, his Aninu terminates after the Kvura. And therefore, he's allowed to eat from the Korban because the Chavrabanan were not instituted. They did not institute Aninut Durabanan after Yom HaKvura. All right, so now Gemara says, Mantano, who's the Tana believes that Aninut Laila Midurabanan? So this is what we established before, that the two answers that are given right now, both by Rabbi Yirmiyah and Ravasi, both assume that Aninut at night is only a din derabanan. That Aninut Yom is deoraita. Aninut Laila, the night, is only derabanan. And the Rabbanan suspended it b'makom Pesach. They suspended Aninut Laila when it's a chiyuv karet. According to Rabbi Yirmiyah, they suspended it both for the Pesach and for Kodashim. According to Ravasi, they only suspended it for the Pesach. But depending on the case, there may not be Aninut Laila when it's a case where the Yom HaMita and Yom HaKvura are separated. So Mar says, who's this individual who says, which Tana says that Aninut tonight is only a din derabanan? It's Rabbi Shimon here. The Tanya, we have a bright Tanya. Aninut Laila midivrei Torah, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda believes Aninut nighttime is even a deoraita. Shenomer onein eno midivrei Torah, elo midivrei Sofrim. It's only a din derabanan. He agrees that Aninut Yom is a din deoraita, but when it comes to nighttime, that is only an addition of Aninut midirabanan. Teda. Shrei Amru onein tovel v'chalit piskol erev. I'll prove it to you from the fact that an onein, the Mishnah Psachim says that an onein can go to the mikveh and eat his Pesach that night. Avaloba Kodashim, not other Kazim. That's my proof. Why? Because if Oninut Laila was the Oraita, then he wouldn't be able to eat his Pesach that night. The Torah says he's an Onen, he can't eat from the Korban of Pesach, and you're saying he can? If it's a Din Derabanan, we can say that the Din Derabanan is suspended by Makom Karet. You can't say a Din Deoraita is suspended by Makom Karet. That's not true. So therefore, it must be, based on that writer, now that Oninut Laila is only Derabanan. The Gemara says, Vesov Rabbi Shimon, Oninut Laila to be Derabanan? Is it really true that Rabbi Shimon believes Oninut Laila is only a Din Derabanan? Batanya, we have a bright Rabbi Shimon, Omer Onen, Enu Mishalech Karbanotav. Onen can't send his Karbanot. He can't send on his behalf, have his Karbanot sent into the Mikdash, that someone's Makriv on his behalf. And then he'll eat from them afterwards. My love, Vafilu Pesach. What's the question? Oh, the Gemara says, maybe it sounds like you hear that any Korban, even his Pesach he can't send. If he can't send his Pesach, that means he couldn't eat the Pesach that night. And that means that Ninut is Doraita and it's not suspended. The Gemara says, no, Levarmi Pesach. No, he can't send any Korban except for a Korban of Pesach. Korban Pesach is the exception because of the Chiyuv Karet. V'atanyo, Shunom Eshlamim, Kshu Shalim, Mevi, Venu Mevi, Kshu Onein. We have a din by Shlamim that he can only bring Kshu Shalim when he's whole. And he can't bring them when he is an onein. Minayin rabot et ha-todah. How do I also don't include a todah that it can't happen? Rabbah ani et ha-todah shekei ne'achelet b'simcha kishlamim. Since the shlamim already included in this din of shlamut, todah will also be included because the todah is very similar. It's a subcategory, subset of shlamim. And it's eaten b'simcha just like the shlamim are. Minayin rabot et ha-olah. How do I know that olah is also included in this din? Rabbah ani et ha-olah shekei ba'ab neder nidavah kishlamim. It's similar to a shlamim in the fact that it can be bought as a voluntary offering. So therefore we'll have the same din shlamim in this regard. Minayin rabot b'chor maseru Pesach. How do I know to include these three items, even though they are not similar because they cannot be brought as karbanot nidava, but they're still kodshim kalim. So merabeh ani, because b'chor maser Pesach shekein einan ba'in al chet. They have a common denominator with the shlamim that they're not brought for any sin. They're brought for specific occasions. They're brought because of a specific requirement, but they're not brought to be mechaper. Since they're not brought to be mechaper, they're all in that same category and will have the same din of shlamim. Minayin rabot chatat v'asham. How do I know how to include chatat and asham? So there we can't include it from the comparison to shlamim. I need here a specific pasuk to do that, and that is tamalumar zevach. The word zevach teaches me from the pasuk of zevach shlamim. So zevach teaches me also to include other zevachim. What are the other zevachim? Chatat and asham. Minayin rabot ha'ofot o'menachot. menachot. How do we know the rofot menachot have the same din? Vayayin, veitzim, valubona. All these items that go on the mizbeach. How do I know they're also included? Tamalomar, shlamim and karbano. So the word zevach shlamim karbano. So zevach includes hatat and hasham. Karbano includes anything that ends up in the mizbeach. Shlamim includes everything else that we mentioned until that point in time. So that's it. Kol karbanot shehu mevi kashu shalem. Every karban he brings has to be when he's shalem. Kashu shalem mevi venu mevi kashu onen. He doesn't bring when he's an onen. Now, why would we bring this brayta down? Because we said before that Rabbi Shimon has a brayta that says he's not allowed to send his karbanot by someone else to eat them at night. So Mar says, oh, what about Pesach? So Mar says, no, exclude Pesach. But now we have a brayta that includes Pesach. Here we had a list of karbanot that says you can only eat them when you can only have them when you're shalem, not when you're an onen. And what was one of the things included here? Bechor Maser and Pesach. See, Pesach is included in this din of Rabbi Shimon. So what are you going to do? So Amar Rav Chista, Pesach kedei naspe. Pesach wasn't supposed to be included in that brayta. It was just dragged along because they're usually a unit. Bechor, Mas, and Pesach, like in Ezel Mekoman, are all included in the same Mishnah. They're always brought together. So also over here, they're brought together. It's not really true. The din of Pesach is different. Rosh Eshet Amar, my Pesach. What is the meaning of the word Pesach here? It means Shalmei Pesach. Doesn't mean the Pesach itself. It means the Chagigat Yudalit, the Shlamim that come along with the Pesach. The Chagigat Yudalit is done to eat the Pesach HaLasova that's also part of that time. That's included in this din that an onen can't send that on his behalf. He can only send the Pesach itself, which has a Chiyuv Karet involved with it. He may not send the Karban, the Chagigat Yudalit, which does not involve a Chiyuv Karet, along with it. But what's the difference? If you're already saying Shalmei Pesach, then we're talking about Shlamim. So Shlamim were already mentioned. I mean, that's what the whole din comes from, Shlamim. So Mar says, Tana Shlamim Abayim Machmat Pesach, V'tanim Shlamim Abayim Machmat Atzman. Talking about two different types of Shlamim. One Shlamim that comes because of the Pesach, that's Chagigat Yudalit, and one Shlamim that are coming because they're Shlamim. Dilo Tana Shlamim Abayim Machmat Pesach. If it didn't specify Shlamim Abayim Machmat Pesach, Sakadat Chamina, Ho Machmat Pesach Atei Kigufei the Pesach Dami. I would have thought since they're coming because of the Pesach, they have the same din as the Pesach. And just like the din of Onen is suspended for the Pesach here, the din derabanan of Onen is suspended for Pesach, so too it should be suspended for Chagigat Yudalit, for the Shalmei Pesach. Kamash Malon, that they have a different din. One din is the din of Pesach. Pesach, which involves a Chiyuv Karet, is the din Onen derabanan suspended so that he can eat the Karban that night. That's not true of Chagigat Yudalit. At Chagigat Yudalit, we're not going to suspend the din derabanan because we're not involved with a Chiyuv Karet over here. Right, well, we'll stop over here. Right, Rav Murray will offer us an alternative answer tomorrow, but it involves much more about Yom HaMita, Yom HaKvura, and we'll go through a large part of the Yomot tomorrow, so we'll stop over here.